Hello, and welcome to episode 39 of the Planning Period Podcast, your Ed Break Room. I'm your host, Brad Scheffler. This week on the show, I'm joined by AJ Bianco, self-described father, husband, teacher, leader, tech nerd, weekend athlete, and sports enthusiast. He is also one of the three hosts of Podcast PD, one of my personal favorites to listen to in the area of education. Knowing some of AJ's views from listening to him regularly on his show, I knew he would be a great voice to have on mine. AJ and I talk about superheroes, podcasting, fear of change from all angles, from parents and students and other teachers, the importance of parent communication, and we talk a lot about having fun and building rapport with your students. And also, we kind of just wander. We jump all over the place and have a good time, some great stories and a lot of great conversation. It's a really fun episode. So, sit back and enjoy episode 39 of the Planning Period Podcast, my interview with AJ Bianco. All right, hello everybody, welcome to this episode of the Planning Period Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Treffler. I am so excited tonight because I get to talk to AJ Bianco, who, if you know him, if you listen to podcasts about education at all, you've probably heard of Podcast PD, and he's one of the co-hosts on Podcast PD, and does the best Lego Batman impression I've ever heard. And so I'm, among other things, he's also a great educator and has lots of great ideas, but also Lego Batman is awesome. So I'm really excited to talk to AJ tonight on the Planning Period Podcast. So, hey, AJ, how's it going?
Brad, how's it going? Lego Batman here.
I had to throw it in.
Good. I had it's to throw so it good.
So you put me on the spot. That wasn't a good one. I could do so much better, but you put me on the spot. So I figured I would just come in and give you a little something for you.
No, I appreciate it because I do love it. I Will Arnett should always be Batman. He should just never do anything but Batman.
I agree. His Batman is phenomenal. Honestly, it's better than Christian Bale. It's not better than Michael Keaton, but his Batman is definitely up there. I love that one.
Yeah, it's so good. So awesome, man. Well, how are you doing? You're doing good tonight? Having a good week?
Doing good. Things are on the up and up. You know, just kind of getting the mind right for, you know, break and off of break and getting things together for the end of the school year. You know, a lot of good things going on.
Yeah, good. For my audience who lives under a rock, who are you and what do you do in the day and in the night, as it were?
That's like a superhero thing during the day.
Exactly.
During
What's
the day.
Your day job at night?
I'm a seventh grade and eighth grade social studies teacher in New Jersey. Really firm belief in my classroom is more hands-on and collaborative than it is testing and results. So I have a flipped classroom and a blended learning classroom. Throw a little bit of personalized learning in there. So that's me during the day, teaching social studies. And at night, I'm a family man. I have two boys. And we were talking about this before we got on the air, reading books, playing with superheroes, playing with all the toys that we can, and doing the best voices that we can so that the kids enjoy living their life as little kids and until they get into the real world where everything starts changing on them.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, until like, oh, if you're me and you just go back and be a teacher and then you just get to stay a kid pretty much, you know, just talking to children all the time.
Well, that's the truth. Yeah, that's the best part of that. I think that's why we get into it. We still have that little bit of kid inside of us. So I think that's why we are educators.
Yeah, I agree completely. Because, you know, like the Black Panther just came out this last weekend. I don't know if you saw it.
I have not had a chance yet.
It's quite good. Yeah. I went and saw it twice. Ooh. I saw it twice this weekend.
Wow. Okay.
It's really good. And so I couldn't wait to get to school to talk to my kids about Black Panther because I was like, we got to talk about this. Like, So yeah. I know, I get it.
I got to be honest. Like when I have superheroes all over my room and I'm a big DC guy and they look at the posters and they say Superman, Batman, you know, the Justice League and all that. And they go, where's Captain America? I'm like, come on. Like, don't you guys realize what this is? Like this is, you should have been brought up either as a DC fan or a Marvel fan. It's kind of like in my house, it's either Yankees or nothing. You know, so comic book world, it should have been DC or Marvel. And my boys, got to be honest, they're having a hard time deciding because my wife really appreciates Marvel comics where I'm all DC. Like, I just want to go DC.
See, I'm all Marvel. Ooh. I feel like the problem with DC, and now we're going to turn this into a superhero show.
Just for
the problem with, that's fine. The problem with the entire DC universe is Superman. Because his existence makes all other heroes unnecessary. He's so overpowered
that I feel like almost every DC storyline is just justifying why Superman doesn't just save the day all the time.
Wow, this was a great conversation, Brett, so I appreciate you having me on the podcast. But if you're going to badmouth Superman like that, I'm not sure we can do that. No, look, I understand. I understand. Like, the good thing about Marvel and my wife's principal actually is a big comic book person as well. And he was like, the problem is with Marvel, like, everybody's flawed, you know? For DC, yep. It's Superman is the man. He's the best one. Everybody relies on him and he's perfect. So I understand, but there's just something about the original comic book and the DC characters that really stand out to me. Like, if I had to pick Marvel, I do love Iron Man. I love who he is as a person and then how he comes about as the machine. But there's just something about DC comics and the originals that I have a real, real love for.
I feel like the DC universe desperately needs some better movies.
I agree.
Their movies are lacking.
I absolutely agree. I think I expected Justice League to be much better than it was. Wonder Woman was great, but I guess
Wonder Woman was good.
Fantastic. Their next movie is going to be Shazam. So if you don't know who Shazam is, you better find out a little bit more about Captain Marvel. People, come on, get with it.
Yeah. Shazam is a great character. He is an underutilized DC character, I feel like.
And my 5-year-old is absolutely in love with Shazam because he loves the fact that the superhero comes from a little kid. So he is all Shazam right now. He can't wait for this movie. It's going to be his first DC movie.
That's exciting. That's very
exciting.
Another
year to go. Another year.
Well, I feel like we could probably just talk about superheroes for an hour, but I'm not sure my audience would love that entirely.
That's all right.
We should maybe talk about like education stuff, I guess.
I get it.
You're also the host of the podcast PD podcast, which I absolutely love. I listen to it all the time regularly. In fact, it's one of those podcasts. I'm really intentional about listening to podcasts in order, like whatever they release that. And I regularly fall behind. Like right now, I think I'm not quite as bad as Stacey, but I think I have like seven hours of podcasts on my queue right now. But Podcast PD will typically jump its way up to the top because it's so like, exactly what I'm looking for, I feel like.
Oh, I appreciate that. We appreciate that. Thank you.
So you guys have been doing that for a while. Like it's been in kind of reiterated a couple times. Am I right about that?
Yeah. So what it started, and this is all Stacey's baby. I remember we were just kind of sitting around and it was part of a chat one time on Twitter, just talking about podcasts and what podcasts do for education and why we should continuously use podcasts. And from there, it turned into Chris Nessie kind of just finding a love of podcast, and his podcast, The House of Ed Tech, has been going strong for probably about 4 years now. But, you know, he was like, he put us to the side. He's like, I think we have something here. So we started a Twitter chat that was just a hashtag podcast PD. And it was a Sunday night where we'd talk about our favorite podcasts and have the people on the podcast get involved. And then all of a sudden, Chris was like, look, we have a voice. We should use it. And he wanted to create a podcast, and it took Stacey a little bit of time, and understandable. I mean, she's great at what she does with the podcast, but I understand she was a little shy at first, and we recorded a couple episodes here and there. And now going on, I guess a full year at this point that we've been recording Podcast PD as a podcast, and I absolutely enjoy it. I found a new love for podcasts, and you know, you talk about 7 hours worth of podcasts in your catcher. I can't even express the amount of podcast I subscribe to. Even if it's one episode that I want to hear, I absolutely have just been subscribing to every podcast under the sun because I love the content that is delivered to us. And it's fantastic listening to people's ideas.
Yeah, it is. I the more I do my own show, the more I'm like farther into the podcast hole. I've been listening to podcasts since like 2004 when the first real podcast came out, which was like This Week in Tech with, Leo Laporte was one of the very, very early podcasts. And I've been listening to that since 2004. And I briefly ran a podcast in college, which thankfully I don't believe exists anywhere on the internet at this point because it was not good. But, you know, so I've loved podcasts for so long. And, you know, finding education podcasts really, really reignited my passion and love for this medium. And I'm obsessed with it. It's a problem.
Yeah, you know what? The education podcasts, honestly, have kind of just get you out of that funk. You know, I really like going to a lot of conferences because, you know, it kind of brings a new life into you. And I feel like the podcasts do the same thing. So hopefully your listeners are getting that, you know, not just from yours and the Planning Fair, but everything else that they listen to. They find something that's going to energize them and want them to do more. You know, even just to create their own. I know people aren't going to do that, but even creating a blog post, something that's going to help you just clear your mind and get back into why you're such a passionate educator.
Yeah. I'm going to put you on the spot. You mentioned Podcast PD, obviously. You mentioned House of EdTech. Mm-hmm. Can you make another recommendation? I know you guys do this like every week, but can you make another podcast recommendation that's high on your list right now?
I'll be honest. I know I said this one recently, but the Future Focus podcast by Kelly Croy, that's kind of like my go-to right now. His episodes have been fantastic. Maybe 20 minutes. He's talking about leadership. He's talking about self-help and personal gains and setting goals. And sometimes that's just like the refocus that I need. You know, coming in to 2018, you set your goal. You have your one word. And my one word is focus. And his first three podcasts, because it's a new podcast for him. He is also the host of the Wired Educator podcast. But his new podcast, Future Focused, is really focused on you and what you can do to reach your goals. And I think it's a great podcast right now. That's probably my top one.
Cool. Well, I appreciate that. Man. We're just rolling right through. We're like 10 minutes in. We're just going on. I like it. All right. I'm going to, you know, you mentioned before we recorded, you have heard a couple of episodes of the show. So I think you know what's coming next. but I'm going to go ahead and ask anyways. And my first question for all my guests is always, what is the biggest problem facing education today?
This is probably an easy one. So I'm going to go with a layup. The biggest fear of education is the fear of change. You know, whether it's the parents, I'm going to start with the parents because we are parents. The fear of change as to my kid's not getting a grade in your class. How does that work? Or it could be my kid's not coming home with textbooks or not coming home with homework. This makes a lot of parents nervous. And I know I've had a little pushback because a lot of those things aren't happening in my class. You know, grades occur, obviously, because we need some kind of feedback. But I don't give grades to everything that we do. Sometimes it's just a learning process that's going to be used the next day. Fear of change for classrooms. You know, I think technology these days shouldn't be an excuse, but it still is when people are still unsure how to use the best technology tools or even how to check their email. That fear is real. And I think as a fear of schools, you know, what they expect from their students, they don't want their students to be unprepared for the real world, but they're forgetting that preparing them for the real world is not learning something, regurgitating that information for a grade. The preparing for the real world is hands-on collaboration and learning how to be a learner, not learning how to take a test.
Yeah, I can see that fear of change. I certainly, it is something as a digital coach that I battle against daily. You know, there's always a large segment of my staff population that doesn't want to try new things, doesn't want to do something different, is completely closed off to new ideas. So I can see that for sure. How do you push against that? Like, what is your, how do you make, I want to talk about the parents first, because you mentioned you get some pushback from the parents. Let's go to that. And you said you do flipped and, you know, blended learning and you don't do a lot of homework. So how have you addressed that pushback with your parent?
For me, I think hopefully it started on back to school night when I was telling parents, look, here's the deal. Here's what's going to happen. I think for a lot of the kids who I rotate with half my grade. So a lot of the kids who have me for eighth grade, who have me for seventh, kind of understood what I was all about. So I kind of lay it out there and I'm like, I'm very honest with what we're going to do in class. And I tell them there won't be a lot of homework. I tell them there's going to be a lot of use of technology. You know, and I tell them if they have questions, please feel free to contact me. So I try to put it out there as best I can on back to school night. And as the year goes on, they kind of forget what the whole class is about. So, you know, I have an Instagram page for my class where I try to keep them in the loop as to what's going on around us. I know a lot of parents are on Instagram and a lot of parents do follow me. So they kind of see what we're doing. They kind of read the posts of what's coming up next. I need to be better to let the parents know. I'm even thinking about next year, like some kind of syllabus in some way. I know it's a little intense for an eighth grade class, but at least kind of give them a heads up as to what we're learning about and a little bit of a pacing guide so that they can be in the loop and kind of stay on top of their kids as well.
Do you plan far enough out that you can do like a pacing guide for your whole year?
Not that I plan that far out. I just think I've been doing it for a while now that I kind of know where I should be. You know, there's nothing really that comes up and I try to fit current events in there. throughout my teaching anyway. So as a social studies teacher, I'm always trying to fit current events, whether it's a Friday or a Monday. You know, I can kind of give like a general guide as to, you know, in February, we'll be doing this topic. You know, we've been doing it, or I've been doing it for X amount of years. So I should be here. And if I'm not there, then I'm behind. So maybe not a pacing guide as to, you know, exactly planned out to the T, but just topics or ideas.
Makes sense. Yeah. And I know as a parent, I love, you know, you mentioned having Instagram. My son's teacher uses Class Dojo. And even though I have taught teachers, I do instructional support, and I explain how much parents love to hear from you and know updates and everything else, I still don't think I even fully got it until I started getting those updates from my own son's class. Like, I love knowing what they're doing. Like, he's a kindergartner. When he gets in the car and I go, "What'd you do today?" He goes, "Well, the thing I was doing 2 seconds ago was playing." Right. And that's all I remember. Well, I can say, "Oh, but didn't you do this math game? Or wasn't there something with numbers? Or you were reading in centers?" And he's like, "Oh yeah, no." And then he remembers. And I just, it's so great to have those kinds of updates. So I agree. I think the communication with parents is probably critical to make
it. Yeah, absolutely. Work. And Class Dojo, just as a tool by itself, that is a fantastic tool, especially for the younger grades. So if there's educators out there who are unfamiliar with Class Dojo, you got to check that out. I tried it with a middle school when I was teaching a couple years ago, and it was good, but I felt like for my kids, it was just a little babyish. I think it's a perfect elementary tool to keep parents in the loop. So you're absolutely spot on with that one.
No, I agree. I use Remind with my high schoolers mostly, because I can text them back and forth, and that Remind made a lot of improvements. So it's really convenient to be able to text back and forth with your kids and get information out to all of them, and their parents can get on there as well. So I use that a lot.
I kind of slacked off from using those tools because mainly with Google Classroom, the fact that we can have parents join in, they kind of get the same notifications as the kids do. So if I put an announcement up there late at night, they'll get the email. Remind still is a good tool. It is something I continuously battle back and forth in my mind, whether I should do it or not.
Yeah. And I mean, at some point, I think, you know, if you have a class Instagram and you're using Google Classroom and the parents all know how to sign up, like, I think there's probably, you don't need to be on every single platform to get that information.
I agree. And that's my fear. Talk about fear. That's my fear.
That's your fear. Yeah. Over communication.
Too much transparency.
You know, you talked about schools and not really knowing what they wanted students to expect in terms of career readiness and college readiness. And I'm wondering how you balance that in your mind with what should we be expecting of our learners as they're getting through school, and what should we be looking at as learning if it's not rote memorization?
You know, that's so hard to answer. And I really don't want to, you know, cop out of this one, but that's so hard to answer because when I think about the things I'm doing with my eighth graders, I want to make sure that I, first of all, prepare them for high school. You know, I don't want them going up to high school and dropping the ball or getting nervous. So for me, you know, I always think that the collaboration is very important and the group work and, you know, some kind of project-based learning or personalized learning. I always feel like that's I don't know. It should be a huge part of how they learn, right? That's what we think. But then when we get to the high school and we talk to high school teachers, they say, "Well, we, you know, do a lot of lecture. We do a lot of independent work. We give a lot of tests and we do a lot of writing and analyzing." And I'm like, "Well, then what am I doing wrong?" So for me, I always question that. I really don't know what I'm doing, if it's right or if it's wrong. So that is something that I'm trying to go back and forth with, because depending on who you talk to, maybe they have a flipped classroom model they use for high school. Oh, good. That's what I did. So we can match up. Maybe it's 3 years down the road. So I don't know if I'm doing the right thing by preparing them for the real world and not preparing them perfectly for high school. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, it does. And actually, as you started to talk, I made a note here to myself about the struggle I have with that I try to prepare them for thing, because it's that constant looking forward. But I agree, there's a balance between, in a middle school case, preparing them for high school and preparing them for college and preparing them for a career. You need to prepare them for all those things. Like, so you have to sort of balance that out. And it is so hard because teachers have so much control in their classrooms, at least down here. You know, we have, unions protecting us and everything else to where they can do pretty much whatever they want in their classroom. So there's no uniformity. There's no preparing for high school, because high school is 100 different teachers doing 100 different things, 100 different ways. And so you kind of have to, I don't know, I guess you kind of have to hope that the other teachers in your school aren't doing the same things you are, so that they're being prepared by different people for different things, I guess, is maybe the way I look at it.
Yeah, no, you have a point. You have a point, you know, and I kind of look at it that I'm doing very, very different things than other teachers in my school. And you go to the high school, maybe it'll change over the 4 years that they're there. You know, maybe it's new administration or new supervisors or some kind of new ideology that they want to bring in that they know. You know, maybe 1 year they're doing a blended learning. Maybe next year they're not one-to-one anymore. So who knows what's going to change for our students as they move up. So preparing them is always, always difficult.
Well, and I have to say, I think blended and flipped both directly lend themselves to where colleges yes. are headed. You know, if you're assuming your kids are going to universities, that online learning component is definitely in the forefront of universities.
Absolutely. You can see it more and more. You can see it more and more because the colleges are kind of falling behind. That whole idea of lecture is kind of, I think, just kind of knocking them out a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it also kind of depends on your major. You know, I went through the College of Business at UCF, the University of Central Florida, mm-hmm. and it was all of my College of Business courses were project-based courses, basically. Wow. They were pretty much all project-based. They were all group collaborative work on a project. And, you know, you had a couple of tests to go with it on some of the lecture material, but for the most part, half your time is usually in groups working on things, building things. You know, one of our courses, we had to go raise money for a fundraiser, not just plan it out, like actually go raise money for a charity. And, you know, we raised $5,000 in a summer for a wounded veterans charity we were working with. And like, that's awesome, right? Like, but that was 2005, 2006, and I don't see that making its way down into all schools or spreading out everywhere either. So it's kind of hard. There's just such that balance of there's places that are advanced and places that are behind and everything in between.
Yep. And every school is different. So no matter where you are, whatever level you're at, every school is different. Every teacher is different. So, you know, what works for one may not want to work, or maybe they don't want to work. So, you know, you can't force people to do something different. So you got to hope that, again, you know, getting them ready, however you're getting them ready, is what's going to help them wherever they end up in 4, 5, 10 years from now.
So we somehow have to battle against the fear of change and also recognize that change is inevitable and prepare them for something that we don't really know for sure what it is.
That's right. You know, we keep saying we're preparing them for jobs that don't exist yet. So how do you really prepare them? You know, that change is going to happen.
Our job is really hard sometimes.
And what's going on in society these days? I heard you discuss that in your last episode. What's going on these days? There's even more we have to worry about. So, you know, our job gets harder and harder, and nobody seems to realize that.
Yeah, they certainly aren't recognizing it in our pay in most places.
That's the truth. That's the truth.
Wow, man. Killing it, AJ. The great start. I'm loving it. Question one, and I'm like, awesome. All right. I'm going to go to my second question, and we may double back on some of this change stuff because I'm all about that change. But I'm going to go to my second question, which is, what is something you're doing that you wish all teachers would?
Wow. What is something I'm doing? You know what? I don't think I'm doing anything that's, you know, out of the ordinary. You know, I think one of my strong points for being an educator is building that kind of rapport with students. And I hope that every teacher still has that passion that they want to get to know their students. There are times where I look at my students and I'm like, wow, I'm definitely the old guy. You know, I don't listen to the music you listen to. I don't watch the shows you watch, but there's still some kind of rapport that's being built, whether it's through humor or their freedom to do work and independent learning in my class and, you know, having fun. You know, maybe that's the only thing I could say. Like, I want every teacher out there to have fun and enjoy what they do every day. You have to enjoy what you're doing. Otherwise, every day you wake up more miserable than the next. And we're not counting down the days till we can retire. Because as educators, who knows if we ever can retire ever again, especially in New Jersey. But we gotta make learning fun. We have to make the kids want to come to the class. And really, whatever lesson it is, just make it enjoyable.
Yeah, I like that. Like, and I like that you said we need to have fun, because I think it's easy to focus on letting the students have fun and then miss out on learning and it's, but I think if you're having fun, the kids will have fun even when they don't want to. That's been my experience. You know, when I'm excited and passionate about something, that's when my kids get in on it, even though they're like, oh, I don't want to do this. And by the third day, I'm jumping around the room and getting all excited and screaming and yelling. They're into it no matter what it is. You know, I used to do this with my poetry unit when I taught English, and they'd always start out like, oh, I don't want to do poetry. I'm a middle schooler and I don't share my thoughts. And by day three, like, they're writing stuff and we're reading it out loud and we're cheering each other on. And it's, you know, everybody's having a good time. And it's because I was having fun with the content I was teaching. So I think I think that's a really critical point.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? I'm not the kind of guy that's going to dress up in class. That's just not my personality. But, you know, if we can get that buy-in, you know, these kids are adults, you know, they're going to be adults. They have their own mind. If you can get them to buy in, I love that little moment where, you know, like you said, the third day of a lesson, you hear a little, this is a lot of fun, or, oh, I like this. And you're like, ha, I gotcha. It's like, I knew it. I knew you would like this. Just give it a chance, you middle schooler who hates everything. I knew you would like this.
Do you have that one unit you think about that, you know, they always are like, oh, I don't want to do this, but you get them, you got that hook down?
It's social studies. So every unit for my kids these days is just like, ugh, I don't want to learn social studies. I think like manifest destiny, you know, no kid really wants to learn about manifest destiny. The word just keeps going back. But this year I kind of started personalizing some projects and letting them do a little more creation. So this year I kind of got them a little more, and they seem to understand that concept better than in previous years. So we'll see when I get to the progressive era. You know, that's the one that kids are always like, I don't really care about this. So hopefully, hopefully what we have coming up will excite them.
Nice. I like that. No, it's interesting to me that they don't want to learn social studies, because I feel like there's so much. I'm fascinated by the social sciences at this point with all the insanity that is going on in our world. There's just so much to talk about.
I agree completely, but I don't think they see it that way. You know, I think our kids are kind of just, they know the game of school. I'm going to go to this class. I'm going to get this grade. I'm going to move on. So they don't look at it like, oh, we can learn about this in this class. This is our safe space. This is where we can talk about this. You know, that doesn't hit them all the time.
That's fair. And I think, again, that goes back to the having fun, right? Like building that culture in your classroom where they feel comfortable and want to ask those questions, even when they don't always seem related.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You're right.
Cool. Dig it. And I think you're so right. Like, we need to have fun, because like, no one else is out there looking out for teachers. No one else is out there making our jobs worthwhile if we're going into work miserable every day. And I think everybody can probably think of that teacher in their mind that is just miserable every day. And the kids don't like them. The kids don't want to be in their class. They're skipping class. They're getting in trouble in those classes. That's the class that I have a radio as a coach. And so I hear the same room numbers every day. We need a dean to this room. We need a dean to this room. And it's that same room number. And I'm going, yeah, well, you know, I'd probably act up if I were in that room too. I'm going to be honest. Yeah, so I think you're right. That have fun is so
I agree. I agree. I mean, you know, I was listening to the Better Leaders podcast with Dan Bauer, and he had Hamish Brewer on there. And the thing that stood out to me was one of the things he said was the student's behavior is their feedback to us. You know, however students are behaving, if they're happy, we're doing a good job. If they're angry and not doing the work, then they're telling us right then and there, your class is terrible. Fix it now, or I'm going to act like this for the rest of the year.
That is some tough advice. I agree. I get it. I can just see that going over like a lead balloon with some of my stuff.
Yeah, that hit me. I was hit. I was shoveling the driveway, and I stopped, and I was like, oh my goodness, that is absolutely the truth. I'm like, you don't realize that no matter how long you're doing this, their behavior is their feedback to us. And I was like, huh. I'd like drop the shovel for a second.
Yeah, and it's like, wow, that's good. And it's hard though. Like, I know how hard it is. I have 30 kids a day that are with me spread out throughout 7 periods. And when a kid starts acting up in my room, I'm like, I've built this space for you. How dare you be angry? Like, and I get indignant, and I still have to like force myself to take a step back and say, okay, why are like, don't, this isn't personal. They're not, you know, we need to figure out what, there's something else going on. And but it can be hard. It can be so hard, but you have to, right? Like that's one of the hardest parts, I think, of the job.
That's probably the hardest.
Especially when like you're loving what you're doing and it's not connecting.
That's God, always that's the killer. Worst moment, right? That's always the worst.
Hmm. Wow. Well, I'm gonna ask my third question because I'm curious of your response here. And my third question is, who is the best teacher you have ever had?
So the best teacher I ever had, I had some really good teachers back in the day. I remember a lot of my elementary teachers who were just so kind and so nice and so helpful. But for me, the best teacher I ever had was a social studies teacher. And her name was Miss Pichardo, and she was fantastic. And she made social studies so much fun for me that, you know, it was a class that was group collaboration. She didn't lecture much. She let us have fun. She was fun. So she was somewhat young at that point, or what I think was young now that I look back at high school, which is almost 20 years ago. she was great. You know, she really was open. She would talk to you. She wouldn't just say, okay, we have to learn this now. Stop talking. This conversation's ending. She would always kind of just be available to us. And I had her for 2 years. And I remember the classes that we had were just fantastic. And it was kids who didn't like to learn, and she made learning fun. And I was one of those kids who didn't want to learn. But I remember I saw her one time as I started my career. And I think we were like in Applebee's or something. I was with my mom, and I said, Mom, that's Miss Pichardo. Like, that's the reason I'm a social studies teacher. And she's like, you have to go talk to her. And I was like in the middle of paying the bill. And I was like, all right, let me finish this and I'll go. I turned around, she was gone. And I was like, oh my. I was like, I just ruined the opportunity to basically go talk to my idol, and it was gone. And I haven't seen her since. And it's been 15 years now.
Oh.
So every time
crazy. She's like disappeared.
And that's what it was. Like she had her kids with her. So I went to go turn around and I was like, what just happened? Like, what just happened? And that was it. So Every time I talk about that, I was like, give her a shout out. Hopefully she's listening somewhere. Somebody knows who she is. But Spring Valley High School, Miss Pichardo, I don't know where you are, but you were fantastic.
And it's cool to me that you pick out someone who, you know, you clearly are, I feel like, modeling your own path off of. You know, you're recognizing that group work and that collaboration and that making learning fun, even for those that don't want to learn it. I mean, those are the things you're doing in your classroom now.
Yeah. And some I don't really share with a lot of people. When I went into education, my first 2.5 years in college, I was an elementary education major, and I was going with it. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. I really like dealing with kids. And I thought I would teach somewhere between like third and fifth grade. I went to observe a classroom, and I remember I was there for like 5 minutes. A kid came up to me and goes, can you wipe my nose? I was done. I was like, I do not want to be an elementary education major anymore. And it was like right before a break. So I did the observation. I went to the school. It was at my sister's school. She's a teacher as well. I went back to her at lunch. I said, I can't go back to that school. I was like, can I sit with you? And she hooked me up with some social studies teachers in her school. And I was like, you know what? This is what I want to do. I'm like, I want to be like Miss Pichardo. I'm like, and that was it. So from, you know, that, I guess sophomore year or junior year, I switched my major and and it was all about secondary ed and social studies. And I thought about her every time I did a lesson or student teaching or anything.
Yeah, I definitely feel you on that. I never thought I would do elementary. I subbed in elementary, did substitute teaching in elementary school a couple of times, and oh man, was that rough. Oh. Like I did a kindergarten class once because I needed a job and for the day. And like there were slim pickings, and man, was that rough. I can't, I love my kid, but I do not like other kids my kid's age.
I was going to say the same thing. I don't mind living with a kindergartner, but I could not imagine spending 10 hours a day for 180 days. With somebody else.
With 20 of them. with 20 kindergartners. I'm good. I'll pass. Yeah, thanks. Okay. No, something else.
Move on.
More power to elementary school teachers too.
They're angels.
Crazy.
They're angels.
The ridiculousness they deal with. And then like, I just could never wrap my head around the idea of teaching everything.
Right?
Like, That seems crazy to me.
Seriously.
How do you plan for that?
How do you even teach that? Because if somebody asked me to teach math, I know like adding and subtracting is like easy. But if you told me to go teach math to kids, I would probably screw them up for the rest of their lives. Like I do not have that mindset. And my wife is probably shooting daggers at the back of my head right now as I say that. But I do not have that math mindset. She's a math teacher, so she gets it. But I would screw those kids up.
I never even learned my times tables. How can I tell these kids to learn? Like I don't know how to multiply in my head. I cannot very well expect these kids to learn that. I couldn't even test them. They would be able to test quicker than I could grade it. Like, I don't even know what to do.
So you got yourself taking off your shoes, trying to figure out your counting. Like, okay, these kids are doing great. That looks about right.
These, like, I always laugh about, like, I always think of on math, and I look at math as kind of my example for how we don't see change coming, because how many times did your math teacher say to you, like, you have to know this because it's not like you're going to walk around with a calculator in your pocket every day.
Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, well, joke's on you, miss whatever your name was, because I walk around with a calculator all the time now.
I got one in my pocket. I got one on my wrist. It's everywhere. I can ask Alexa anything you want to. Oh, now Alexa went off. Sorry, Alexa. Stop.
I got to bleep this out in the recording now because I don't want anybody going off. That's something that we education podcasters need to be better about, is not using those key phrases.
Yeah,
because I keep doing it on my show too.
I just realized that mine went off. It's like, what do you want? What can I do for you? Ready to serve.
I have an Alexa addiction. I have three of them in my house. Four of them. Four of them. Yeah. Then they control my lights. They got my fan going. I love it, man. I love automation.
We have two. We have two. And I'm just another sidetrack here. Sorry about that. I don't use it for all that stuff because my wife doesn't really like that. Like, I want a Nest in the worst way so I can set the temperature.
Oh, they're so cool.
I really want to do the lights. My wife's like, we don't need that much. And like, I look at it, I'm laying in bed at night and the light is still on in the living room. I'm like, I wish I could just turn off the light with what's her name, you know? And I do have one in my classroom as well, which doesn't get as much use as it should because I kind of try to hide it from the kid.
I feel like the home automation, you got to kind of do it little bits at a time. Yeah. Like, you keep an eye on the like smart switches, and when they go on sale, buy a couple of them or whatever. Pro tip, use Woot. If you use Woot.com, Woot.com, mm-hmm. They'll occasionally have like the switches or the plugs on deals that are really good.
Perfect.
And that's a way I've done it before, is just keep an eye on that. And they're like a one a day, kind of one sale a day.
I'm going to check that
out. But one interesting thing about the automated home devices, I gave my son one. I put one in my son's room. And looking at the things he asks that device is amazing. It cracks me up. Especially, he'll have friends come over and they'll be playing up in his room, and I'll just be looking at the things they're asking. And half of them are like, Alexa, say poop. Like, that's not, you know, it's not super intelligent. Yeah. But then they will just like go, you can watch them like fall into these rabbit holes of questions.
Oh, yeah.
Where the answer leads to another question. And it's really cool. I like it.
You know, and I totally agree, because like, we have made the thing bark, we've made it meow, we've made it toot, as we say. but you know, my son was sitting here one time and he was just coloring, and he's like, how do you spell whatever word, you know, dog? And he asked the device, and she went off, and he started asking more and more questions. And I was watching him, you know, for a 5-year-old starting to create his little writing. I thought that was fantastic. And like, at that moment, I was like, this was worth the money. I don't need it for anything else. You want to play it for music? Great. But you're spelling right now, and this is amazing to me.
Yeah, absolutely. It is cool. I love change. It makes me sad that people fear change, because I love it.
I agree. I embrace change. I do like change. Sometimes too much change really throws me off, but I do really embrace change.
What do you see as like the next big thing? What's coming that is going to change education or change the way we look at education?
You know, it's funny. I was thinking that the other day, and like, I'm not really sure. You know, I really hope it's more of connecting classrooms. Like, I think that's great. You know, teaching together. I mean, I know we do that now with like Google Hangouts and stuff, but that's so every once in a while. But I'm talking about like, you know, this teacher is going to teach this lesson to my students, and I'm going to figure out an assessment. You know, like some kind of like team teaching. I think that'd be pretty cool. I don't know what the next big thing is, and I hope it's not like replacing, you know, schools and classrooms, but hopefully it's connecting more than it is replacing.
I like that team teaching idea, because I try to do that somewhat in my own school, or I did when I was in the classroom as well, is where, like, you know, me and the other English teachers in my grade level would be like, all right, well, you're good at this on the, based on the data, so why don't you teach my kids a lesson? And we like rotate kids. But I like that idea of team teaching, like where, you know, you're teaching a lesson to both of our classes one day and I might teach them the next. And, you know, because I'm not the expert on everything. And that's a really cool idea. We should, you should make that happen. You should put that together.
I would be down for that. And like, I'm always open to new things in my classroom. You know, I'll be honest, when it comes to the curriculum, I can get to that. You know, they can learn that kind of stuff. I'll figure out a way. But to embrace some new ideas, I'd be totally down for that.
Yeah, I started a podcast with my students. So I have my students in my student tech support group podcasting now. And we were interviewed by a class of fifth and sixth graders out of Canada. They interviewed my high school kids. And watching them during that interview was just really fascinating. Cause like, they're good kids and I've known them for years. And but they lit up in a way during that interview that I don't think I'd ever seen them before. There was something about that connection across distance that made it real somehow. Like, none of them are surprised you can have a call with someone in Canada because they all have phones, they get it. But there's something about that moment where a fifth grader in Canada is asking my kids a question about their heroes. And it's, I don't know, there's something about it that's powerful.
Yeah, I think it's the fact that it's finally about them. You know, it's about their learning and their experiences. It's not about what others have done or a grade. This is totally about them and something that they created. You know, I think that changes the way they look at interviews and school when it's more about what they have done and not what they can do. Yeah. But that's, so can you tell me a little bit about your podcast with your students? I know we talked about this a little bit, but like, what, first of all, what is the podcast about? And secondly, what do you use to record it? Because I have a podcast in my school that I have a club and it's like a couple of kids, like six kids, and I have them do their own, but I'm looking to change that for next year. So what do you do?
So the show with my kids is, we call it the Studacotomy podcast. And so we take one ridiculous topic and one serious topic and we kind of talk about them both at the same time. So like our initial episode was, I won't talk about the initial one. One of our recent episodes was on climate change and what we should or shouldn't be doing and what we need to be doing to address climate change. And then we started talking about meme culture, the modern day just meme culture that these kids have. And I kind of base it on the idea that, like, what I do in my own classroom is I can be talking about something serious, but I'm going to let them sidetrack me for a little bit if they want to talk about something else. And then I'll loop it back into the original conversation, whatever it was content wise. I was talking, like you said, you're going to get the content and I can always loop that conversation back in, that sort of improvisational nature of teaching. But at this point, my kids completely run the whole thing. I did a small grant with our PTSO to get a Yeti for the classroom and a premium Spreaker account. And so I have them doing basically everything. They record it. They will, you know, they do. I have one of my students does all the editing. Another student runs the social media for it. The only thing I do really is upload it to Spreaker because I just want to make sure I've heard it before it goes live.
That's cool.
Because I never know. And so like, I'm usually there to start the conversation, but in the middle of a recording, I may get pulled away and they'll just keep going without me. So, I mean, it's cool. They pretty much run the whole thing now. And using the Yeti in stereo mode, I just have them all sitting around it and that's pretty much it.
And just talking. That's really cool. See, that's kind of what I was thinking for next year. Cause this is the first year I actually ran the podcast, little enrichment class with my kids. And I had them create their own little podcast episodes, you know, 2-3 minutes. At the most, because a lot of them are shy. But I think next year I wanted to do more where we can create something together and something that can go out there instead of 6 or 7 different episodes that are all about the same idea. Video games, yeah, YouTube, yeah. Things like that, you know?
Yeah, there's been a lot of gaming discussion on my podcast for sure. Because a lot of my kids are gamers, which is why they're, you know, they're tech kids. They love gaming. But
right.
Yeah. I tried to do something similar to what you were doing, like encouraging my students to start their own thing and get them all going on their own. And it just never took off the way I wanted. And so I felt like this was probably the better way to do it, was with a little more guidance and structure from me and then slowly releasing the reins and letting them sort of take over from there.
I like that. I think I'm going to be contacting you next year, figure out what I can do. Because I use Soundtrap for mine just because I think it's an easy collaboration piece. But if you're doing it where it's a round table, I think I might have to talk to you about Spreaker.
Yeah, absolutely. You can actually record. I haven't done this yet, but you can record directly into Spreaker. But I use that mostly for aggregation to get the content out there in the RSS feed and that kind of stuff. And then we just record directly into Audacity.
Oh, okay. Perfect. So, Makes sense.
Yeah. It's good times. Definitely. I'm more than well. I'm always willing to talk about podcasting. So,
oh, yeah.
Well, AJ, we've been going for 45 minutes, man.
Wow. It didn't even feel like that. I got to be honest with you. I've really enjoyed this conversation.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun, man. I really appreciate you coming on. I really do.
Well, I appreciate you extending the invitation. This was great. This is a nice chat.
Absolutely. Well, for my audience, how can they get a hold of you if they want to talk more about what you shared? Or
so the best way to get in touch with me, obviously, Twitter is my go to. Find me there at AJ Bianco. It's BIANCO. It's the same on Instagram. And you can follow my blog, which I will be updating and having a whole makeover. And that blog is at ajbianco.me. And I'm on Voxer as well, AJ Bianco. Feel free to reach me in any of those places, and I'll be happy to connect and we can talk.
You're definitely findable. That's for sure.
that's the truth. That's the truth.
Well, AJ, I really appreciate you coming on with me.
Oh, this is great, bro. I really do appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Have a great night.
You too, pal.
Thank you so much, AJ, for giving me your time and coming on the show. It was a lot of fun, and you shared some great ideas, too. If you want to connect with AJ, you can find him on Twitter. He's at AJBianco, or on his website, ajbianco.me. Also, make sure you check out his podcast, Podcast PD. Links to the iTunes and that stuff is on the show notes. If you have comments or questions about the show, you can always connect with me on Twitter. I'm at Brad Schreffler. I love to hear from you guys on Twitter, so please reach out and let me know what you think about the show and how it's going. That's also a great place to connect with me if you'd like to be a guest on the show. I'm currently looking for guests for the upcoming couple months. I'm looking to build up some more guests on the show, and I want to get some new voices, so please let me know if you'd like to be on the show. Until next week, remember that your students' behavior is their feedback to you. Music for the Planning Period podcast is the song Vicious by Kevin MacLeod, used under Creative Commons. You can find him at incompetech.com. The Planning Period podcast is also a proud member of the VoiceEd Radio Network, a 24-hour radio network all about education all the time. VoiceEd Radio, your voice is right here.